Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to get you started in a new habit as a congregation. Please open your bulletin and find there an insert. I believe the insert is a pink insert today. Every Sunday when I preach, I'll be providing a sermon outline. The first purpose of the outline is for you to follow along. The second is so you can know how far it is until we finish. And the third reason is for you to take this home, to use it as a study guide for your devotions throughout the week. So every Sunday we'll have a sermon outline. Title of our message this morning is Party in Room 210, Everyone Invited. And I'm going to already ask the sound man to turn it down a bit, because once I get rolling, we're going to be blasting people's ears, I'm afraid. Let's turn it down a bit. We find our theme in John's Gospel, chapter 1, especially verses 45 to 46. Let me read it to you. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." I was raised as a young boy on a dairy farm in an area called Green Acres. Now, it was way before the TV show. There is a place called Green Acres to this day, just east of Spokane, Washington. Raised there from my young days up through grade school and coming into junior high, and then the farm went under. My dad couldn't make a go of it, and we moved into the city of Spokane. Every Saturday morning, it was my parents' habit to go off and do grocery shopping. And we knew the rule of the house, we kids who were there, whoever got to the television first controlled the television. And those were the days of a little black and white with antennas. Young people, if you want to know about black and white TV with rabbit ears, see me after the service. That Saturday morning, I rushed downstairs to get in front of the television because I wanted to watch, you can guess, the game of the week, a baseball game. My sister wanted to watch Dick Clark's American Bandstand, but I got there first. In the middle of the game, my sister came running into the living room shouting, "The house is on fire! The house is on fire!" And I said, "Sure, Mary, because you know if I get up from this television, you're going to get it, and I won't have the ball game on." But the house was on fire. My little brother had been playing with matches in the upstairs, and he had set the whole upstairs ablaze. Knowing that my most prized possessions in the entire world were up there, I literally ran through the flames, broke open a window, and threw out my ball glove and my bat. Then I went to get the garden hose to put the flame out, and as I was trying to spray with the garden hose, the firemen showed up and literally kicked my posterior out of the house as they tried to manage the blaze. Now imagine being my mother and father. They had just lost the farm. You're now on government assistance. You're living in town. You're coming home from buying groceries, and the house is smoldering. The neighbors are in the front yard. Your kids are out in the front yard crying, and the fire trucks are there. Quite a Saturday, eh? In the midst of all that tragedy, some people from about a half a mile down the road came to us. It was a Lutheran pastor and some church members. For you see, I forgot to tell you, I was raised in a completely unchurched, non-Christian home. Had never heard about the good news of Jesus Christ, and I was 12 years old now. This pastor and these people came down and said they would help us rebuild the house, and they did. This pastor assigned three different families to adopt us three kids who were school age, and they took us out and bought us a whole new wardrobe of school clothes. That was exciting because the fire happened in late August. School was about to start. And because we were so poor, I was going to go to junior high with two pairs of colored jeans and some cheap Kmart t-shirts. But these people bought me plaid bell bottoms and beetle boots and paisley shirts. In the 60s, I was cool. And then after this was said and done, the pastor very humbly then invited us to church. He specifically invited us to confirmation class. my parents to adult instruction class, and me to youth confirmation class. And there, for the first time in my life, I learned about a Savior who loved me. I learned about a Savior who died for me on the cross to forgive my sins, that when I died, I could be in heaven forever. I never knew that. My life was changed. All I ever wanted to do, and I'm still waiting for the call, was to play second base for the New York Yankees. But God uses tragedy. And the simple invitation of these dear people who rebuilt our house and invited us to confirmation to come and see their Jesus, he changed my entire life for now and for all eternity because they took time to say, come and see. Now, not all calls to saving faith are so dramatic, but how are people called to faith? And here's where now I want you to take note of your bulletin as we look at some scriptures. How are people called to faith? In John chapter 1, Jesus simply said to two men, come and see. Let me read the verses. The next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed after Jesus, and Jesus turned, and he said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. Jesus simply said, come and see. Two of John's disciples were pointed by John the Baptist to Jesus with a simple invitation. Behold, look, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And these two men walk behind Jesus. There's no house fire. There's no dramatic revelation or instant conversion. No, Jesus turns to them and asks them a question. He says, what do you seek? That is, do you know what you're really looking for in life? And then they asked Jesus this question, Rabbi, where are you staying? Now, this was not a question about the housing situation in Jerusalem. This was a Jewish way of saying, Jesus, who are you? Jesus, why have you come? Jesus, we have so many doubts and so many questions. And Jesus simply turned to them and said, come and see. Come and see, that is, I accept you with all of your doubts. I accept you with all of your failings. I accept you with all of your questions. Gentlemen, just come and see. Andrew said, come and see. The story continues in our text. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. The story continues. One of these disciples, whose name was Andrew, went to his brother Simon and said, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. And Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus. And Jesus brings Simon to faith. And Jesus changes Simon's name, which in Greek means pebble, to Peter, which means rock. And on the rock of Peter's ministry and faith, Christ built the New Testament church. My friends, here's good news for us all. God can work through family members to reach out to their family to bring them to faith in Christ forever. I encourage you to keep praying, to keep loving, to not give up with those family members you have who aren't where they should be with their Lord. God can use us. And I invite you to help me get involved in the process as well as we reach out to our friends and family in Christ's name. Well, the story continues, and Philip said, come and see. The text goes on. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. And he said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, king of the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come from Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Philip was changed by Jesus, and he goes to his friend Nathanael. And Nathanael says, yeah, right. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Is Jesus really the Savior? Do you have friends or co-workers like that? Is there really a God? What's this Jesus stuff in this church? Does it really make any difference? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, note, Philip did not give up. Philip did not argue. But with patience and love, Philip turned to Nathanael and simply said, well, come and see. Note, Philip did not say to Nathanael, you go and get straightened out. He didn't say to Nathanael, well, you know where to find the church building. You know where Jesus is at. He said, come with me and let us see. And the result, verse 49. Nathanael spoke and said to Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Let me let you in on, and have you noticed your outline there? What's coming up next? The 85% church growth truth? How do people come to saving faith today? How do people hear the call of the gospel and know their sins are forgiven, and when they die, they can be with God forever in heaven? Church growth studies show us that 85% of people who come to faith, who become an active member of a Christian congregation, do because of a family member or a friend who lovingly and patiently said, come and see my Jesus. You are the key. It's not the preacher. Thank God it's not that sinful preacher. It's not the programs. It's not the building. It's not the worship styles. You are the key. Now, what can this mean for us as a congregation? St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:3 this very interesting verse. Listen carefully. St. Paul writes, you are a letter of Christ written not with ink. What does that mean? It means that you and I are God's love letters to the world. Your life, your love, your kindness, your words of invitation, come see my Jesus, can and will change people's lives for all eternity. Now, what does this call to faith look like and sound like today? It can be a simple invitation, a simple bringing of another person to Sunday worship, to Sunday school and Bible classes, to youth group, to men's group, to women's group, to the September 30th open house here at Trinity Lutheran Church. It can mean becoming a conversation partner in our English as a second language class that's held every Sunday morning here during Bible class at 9:30. Last Sunday, before I was officially installed, I couldn't get up here and give you all this. Beverly and I attended the ESL class. We had such a wonderful time there. I was almost saddened that my responsibilities would call me to teach a Bible class on Sunday morning. At the same time, I wanted to be there to see and to talk with these people. Such a simple thing to be a conversation partner, to help them learn English, to talk about God's Word. It was a wonderful thing. Don could use your help. You want to find a practical way to love somebody else and invite them in the name of Christ? Become a conversation partner. Perhaps you're available on Thursday morning for the Mom and Tops drop-in. I learned three words in Chinese on Thursday. I learned grandfather, I learned pastor, and I learned smile. We can't wait to help more, to welcome these people, let them know that they are Jesus' precious sheep and lambs, and they are welcome here. There are so many. Come and see possibilities all around us. Let me just share briefly some from my past ministry. A child is born to an unmarried couple, and a friend simply comes to them and says, come and see. Come and see my pastor, who's not going to read you the riot act, who's not going to shake his finger at you, who's going to take you right where you are and work with you. And that pastor met with this couple, and conversation led to baptizing that dear baby, to adult instruction class for the parents, for marriage for that couple, for a new Christian faith, a new Christian church home, and people to support and care for them in this their challenging time, all because of come and see. A young man in his 20s had never been to churches in his entire life, and a buddy who worked with him on a construction job said, hey, Come and see. Come play on the church softball team. Meet some authentic Christian guys. We'll go out for a cold beverage after the game. And he was invited to worship. And he came, and his life was changed. A recent widow, after 40 years of marriage, wonders out loud, can anybody understand what it means to be so terribly alone? Can anyone understand what it means to go home to a darkened house and a cold bed? And her sister says, come and see. Come and see him and let me introduce you to some other women from the church who have gone through this and they've come to the other side. And she came and she was loved and she saw. Let me introduce you to Sylvia. If you were in Bible class this morning, oh, there's a commercial. If you weren't in Bible class this morning, we'll see you next Sunday in Bible class at 9:30. I happen to be teaching it. In Bible class, I told the class about Sylvia. I phoned Sylvia last week. She's a member of the former congregation. Sylvia informed me on the phone that her doctors told us, her, that she had less than 2 months to live. Sylvia had lived most of her life cut off from God, cut off from Christ, cut off from the church. But Sylvia was visited, and she was loved by her family members, who then invited her pastor to come see her. And Sylvia came back to faith. And Sylvia came back to church. And on the phone last week, as we are sharing our tears together, as at least for this life I'm saying goodbye to her, Sylvia said these words, knowing what I've got to face, I am so thankful that I know God's love. I am so thankful that I know because of Jesus' death on the cross, my sins are forgiven. I am so thankful because I know that even though my life on earth is certain coming to a close, I'll live with them forever in heaven. My friends, the call to follow Jesus is a pathway marked, come and see. But all too often, we and so many people around us are traveling down another path. Proverbs 14:12 puts it this way, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death. This way is as old as Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it continues today. So many people are on the wrong path, the path of running away from God because of fear of God, of hiding from God because of guilt towards God, of rebelling because of disobedience toward God, and the scripture makes it clear that pathway leads to death now and for eternity. And there are people here today, who need to be on this path following Jesus. That's why we start almost every service of worship with what we call the confessions of sins, because we acknowledge to God, I acknowledge to God, and you do as well, God, I have taken the wrong path. I need your forgiveness. I am so thankful here that you are here to welcome me. To love me, not to shake your finger, but to, with your Father's arms, welcome me and to make my life new. Every Sunday, don't you see? As Don said, every Sunday is an invitation for you and for all people. Come and see the loving Lord Jesus. Now, what's the most important thing to see? It was what John the Baptist pointed out to his disciples in the gospel reading when he said to them, behold, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, who came from heaven to live on our earth, who walked a perfect walk, healed and loved and forgave, and went to the cross and was nailed there for your sins. Thank God for mine. It was God's plan of salvation that sinful people could get right with the Holy God. Jesus died for you. He died for me and for the sins of the world. And on Good Friday, we could say it might have been Friday, and it looked bleak. Maybe it was Friday, but Sunday was a-coming. It was Friday, but Sunday was a-coming. On Easter Sunday morning, our Lord Jesus rose from the grave. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He defeated the devil once and for all, and that's the gift of victory he gives to all who put their humble faith in him. Every church. And now is where I quit preaching and start meddling. Every church needs to paint, "Come and see," over the doorposts of the church and in the homes of its members. What do I mean? We are to strive to take away any obstacle that makes the Christian church, that makes this Christian church, look like a closed club for members only. We are to fling open wide the doors of our church and our homes and declare, "Hurting people, welcome here. Doubting people, welcome here. Sinful people, welcome here." If you're following the outline, we're at the conclusion. We're rounding third. We're heading toward home. When I was doing a lot of traveling for the seminary as a professor, I would go all over the country and visit our vicars. Why? In 1994, I visited Trinity Lutheran Church to visit Vicar Peter Tu and Pastor Ralph Mann. Little did I know, I'd be back. Once I was traveling, and I even forgot the city. So many hotels and motels, they melt into each other over the years. But as I was going up the elevator to my room, there was a handwritten poster on the elevator door that said these words, "Party in room 210. Everyone invited." And my imagination started going, who would be at that party? Would there be a tired traveling salesman who was on the road for weeks at a time looking for a little entertainment and a little company? Would there be a retired couple, as Ma turns to Pa and says, "If I have to spend one more night in that RV, I'm going to clock you, Buster. We're getting a motel room tonight." And maybe they'd be at that party. Maybe at that party at which everybody was invited, there'd be a bored teenager who snuck out of her or his parents' room to check out the action. It just enthralled me. Party in room 210, everyone invited. I was going to check it out. But alas, later in that afternoon, when I went for my daily run, I got in the same elevator, and the poster was torn down. Instead was an official letter of stationery from the hotel that read, "There is no party in 210. Don't go to room 210. There's no such party." And I thought, doggone it. What a party that could have been, no matter who you were, no matter what was going on in your life. No matter what heartaches or disappointments you had experienced, no matter how you have fallen or failed, there was a party in room 210 and everyone was invited. You know what? If there's going to be such a party like that, maybe it's the Christian church that needs to throw it. Maybe it's Trinity Lutheran Church that needs to throw a party like this. Everyone is invited. It makes no difference what color of your skin, what language you speak, how you have sinned and fallen, how far you have been away. The Father's arms are welcome. There's room for sinners here, and that's why I'm here. I ask you that you would pray and that you would work alongside with me and the leaders of this congregation to send out the invitations. And may the invitations of our mouths and the invitations of our lives and the invitations of our church simply read, "Come and see my Jesus. Everyone welcome. In the name of Jesus, amen." We now worship our Lord with his offering.